Welcome to the Free Truth Show. Attempting to break through all the lies and deception of the mass media, which is owned and controlled by the very elite that have engineered this global financial takedown. The Free Truth Show is dedicated to exposing the New World Order eugenicist depopulation agenda. Never before in the history of the world have the people been so awake. It's time for you to stand up too. Welcome to the Free Truth Show.
One thing I'm really intolerant about is people calling me a freaking conspiracy theorist. I'll read them a headline out of Reuters and they'll call me a conspiracy theorist for it. Conspiracy theorists are quite a convenient catch-all term, isn't it? You can deflect any debate. And it's so effective a term that even conspiracy theorists don't like to use the term conspiracy because it makes people see them as conspiracy theorists.
Welcome to the Free Truth Show on These Changing Times Radio. I am your host, Patrick Lynch, and that was the legendary Vincent Eastwood, Vinnie Eastwood, from is a radio show host in New Zealand. And tonight, if you've tuned in to hear about the New World Order and the depopulation plans and how to deal with chemtrails, you may be sorely disappointed, because I've decided to devote my whole program to Lady Gaga, the Super Bowl again. And we'll also be discussing Jennifer Aniston's new film. So fans of Jenna Aniston, go to hell! I'm joking. Vinnie Eastwood, are you with us?
Absolutely. Loud and proud and down here in the South Pacific and basically the only person who goes up to ambush the Prime Minister and former Prime Minister with a camera.
Welcome to the show, Vinnie.
It's a pleasure to be here, mate. You know, we were commenting before about how we're on the exact opposite timeline. I'm in New Zealand, the colony of the East India Trading Company, which currently owns the UK.
Right.
And it's 9:30 in the morning. You're in the UK, and it's 9:30 at night.
Absolutely bang on. 12 hours ahead, you are. Well, you know, the people are way ahead in the Pacific. They have a nice kind of easy lifestyle on sort of various Pacific islands, and they've got all the good weather all the year round. So, you know, it's the mud. We stayed here.
Yep. Well, it was mostly criminals and people who had been, oh, no, somebody would be accused of stealing a loaf of bread, and they didn't, and they'd be given an opportunity go to jail and sit there with a whole bunch of other real ruthless fucking criminals and such, and go to New Zealand and try to start a new life, or go to Australia and try and start a new life. And that was how they did it, really, is they criminalized people into migrating. And currently in the U.S., we're experiencing a resurgence of that. I think it was something like the average passport rescinding per year in the United States is like maybe 10 or 100,000 or so. And last year, there were like 10 million passports rescinded.
Well, the judges in the U.K. at the time were taking back money for making sure that people got sent to New Zealand and Australia. It was a way of populating those areas to bring on the New World Order now.
Ah. Well, so, you know how we all arrive at the same conclusions through different angles?
Right. And all the criminals ended up in the government there anyway, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's one of the signatures of something being the truth, is that many people can find it out without knowing each other or going through the same levels of research.
Right. Hmm. You recently interviewed G. Edward Griffin about his What in the World Are They Spraying movie and various other subjects, and I've got to tell you, it's one of the best interviews I've ever heard from this guy, because he was relaxed and he had a good time, and you got to the man. You know? And I mean, this guy has the mind the size of a planet, and you're able to conversate with him at a deep level about the nature of existence and why we're in this position where we are and how we've come to put up with what we've come up with. And so I've got to congratulate you on that. A good interview. Did you enjoy that?
Oh, well, you see, I enjoyed the interview, but what I find deeply problematic about getting into any kind of radio or any type of influence within the public sphere, politics or whatever, well, I'll never go into politics, hopefully. Hopefully I'll never have to. I think it's like the scariest thing is that you have amplification beyond just the one time you say things. It goes on record, it gets uploaded to videos, YouTube, and all of this sort of thing. So there's an amount of influence out there which is kind of projected, which I can't ordinarily just by myself do, right?
Yeah.
So in essence, the responsibility goes up, because if I tell one person one thing, you know, there's not too much that can have that can happen from it, really, other than just affect me. Whereas if I tell 100,000 people, 100,000 listeners that I have one thing, there gets to be a different paradigm. And the fear is for me that it'll kind of go to my head and I'll become all full of hubris and become corrupt and engage in levels of otherwise intolerable scumbaggery.
Well, I'll tell you what worked for me. I'm fully aware of what you're saying there, and it's quite a truthful answer as well, because there is the vanity element to it and the responsibility, of course, and we recognise that. And what I did was I made a vow to myself, a kind of pledge, if you like, to be as incorruptible as possible, and never even, if I can even sense that that I may be on the verge of exaggerating slightly, just to get the point across, you know, then I rein myself in.
Well, so I take I take a far less serious approach and try to approach it from a sense of anti-discipline. For example, you know, you try to make yourself incorruptible. I assume that everything that I'm doing is corrupt. I assume that I'm the bad guy, and I watch out for the motive points that would prove what I assume. So if I find out that, hey, hold on a second, I'm yelling at somebody, or I'm being mean to somebody, or I'm robbing somebody out of money, or something along those lines. And this stuff happens all the way through radio and movies and everything. Everyone's trying to steal each other's ideas and go crazy and stuff. And I'm just like, well, if that, man, I don't care if anybody steals my ideas. I've got a million of them.
It's a different sphere, isn't it? I mean, you know, loosely termed truth movement, what we're actually doing is trying to save people's lives by educating them. We're not in it for the ratings and the competition. I mean, I spoke to you earlier, and we thought it'd be a good topic if we discussed and encouraged other people to do their own radio shows in their towns, in their cities, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I have people who comment on my show saying, oh, well, the talk radio show host is an idiot, or he doesn't know what he's talking about, or he should be covering this, he didn't mention that. And I think to myself, these are all different individuals saying this. So there's obviously something to what they're saying, and I take it in. And I try to improve myself based upon inherently negative criticism, even if that negative criticism is just like nothing but a long stream of abuse. I still need to kind of still dampen my paws in that sort of thing, just to test it and see whether or not it might be right. Because
there's disinfo agents too that are trying to put you off, and you know, so you do concentrate on the negative of yourself, you know, a bit too much. But to be careful of that, do you find that?
Well, there's so much positives that the negatives sort of pale into insignificance. Right. I had a listener of mine just recently who confessed to my producer, and I won't name her or anything, but that she was going to kill herself until she listened to my show.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah.
And not to mention the other positive things, like, I had G. Edward Griffin on my show! Yes!
Yeah.
What a guy.
What
it was like a dream, man.
What
it was like a dream.
Guy. Yeah. It is a buzz. I mean, apart from the vanity aspect of it, and, oh, isn't it great that we sometimes get big names on our show, it's just an amazing... If you met these guys in a pub, you would sit for hours talking to them, and you take full advantage of it, and we get to do it every week.
Every day.
Every day. I mean, Alan Watt has agreed to come on for quite some time now. I've been trying to get him on. He's a very busy guy. And I eventually got to speak to Michael Tsari, and that was amazing, because he's one of the greatest minds on the planet, as far as I'm concerned, because I'm Irish and I can relate to a lot of his work. And I spent 2 days preparing questions and wrote them down and acted like they were coming out of my head, because I didn't want to screw up at all. It was this guy's up there, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's rare that you get to speak to great minds like that. And I like the way you have fun with them too, you know. I'm a bit too serious, I've got to say.
Well, you know, there's nothing inherently wrong with, or such a thing as conclusively too serious, right? Because there's a level of serious attention that does need to be paid in terms of the world and what's going on, because it's a very serious and dangerous place. And, if that is something that you really click with, if that's what really motivates you to do something about it by being serious about it, then do it, I say. Me, personally, I like to have fun, okay? So everything that I do, I try to make as fun as I possibly can. I'm an entertainment jukebox. You could just carry me around. And
that's all people do. On their iPhones. Over here in the UK, we have this new iPhone or iPad or G-pad or G-spot or whatever it's called, the new thing coming out. And it was like materialism psychosis. People were queuing up for 48 hours and going, woo, yeah, I got it, yeah. It was bizarre. People were tenting, you know.
It's a
What's
cult.
That all about?
It's a freaking cult. I mean, have a look at the apple symbol, man. An apple with a bite taken out of it? What do you think that means? It's about original submission, you know? Just taking the bite out of the forbidden fruit. All right? It's a freaking cult with a cult symbolism. That's
Absolutely.
What it is.
Yeah.
And be that as it may, I still use one and make copious quantities of anti-New World Order propaganda through my radio show and videos and website.
Use the tools of the enemy against them. Yeah, you've got to fight them on their own ground. I was dubious of using Facebook, and I've got a lot more contacts through that now, and people listen to the show. And I was dubious, I wasn't dubious of using YouTube, because it was quite good fun. But all these are CIA fronts, Google, etc. But you've got to fight them on their own ground. I've even got a Twit account now, a Twat account, you know, Twatter.
Yeah, just hope you don't get mad Twatter's disease.
Mad Twatter's disease, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the thing about truth movements and web marketing is that every single bit of thing that you do has some sort of importance to how many people will listen to your show, watch your video. You know, personally, I want to create an entire media sub-platform of media where I have every form of media at my disposal. You know, I can walk into a TV studio and do a show. I can walk into a radio studio and I can do a show. I can go onto a website. And publish articles, or I can print them out on a newspaper and a magazine. I want a complete subset of all the media outlets so that I can produce saturation of the media market with truth media. Okay, now, giving these facilities out for free to truth movement activists is the name of the game, because these people are now our pundits. Like it or not, or the people that work for corporations, political parties, and various other scumbaggish organizations won't tell you what you really need to know, because they have those loyalties that they can't break. They have that upbringing that makes them all so very nice and respectable.
Clones,
whereas activists have no such loyalty to the establishment or a state that, because basically, through most cases of activists that I've met, they've been screwed over by the establishment. So they have no such loyalty to it, and they only want to prove beyond reasonable doubt with research what the heck these people are doing in our positions of power against us. So whom better to be the reporters for the people? And that's what I do. I go up, and it's quite a mission sometimes.
It's real journalism, yeah.
Well, it's for me, I'm a generalist. I don't know jack all about research, quite frankly. You know, I mean, I'll watch copious amounts of documentaries and I'll learn a lot, but in terms of doing real hard so-called research, I can't do it. So what I do is I just talk to the people who are the real hard researchers in all these different fields.
Exactly.
And nobody else.
Same, yeah.
And nobody else has ever done this.
Well, you know, I only know of two other stations in the UK that are doing what I'm doing, and one is a sovereign based group that talks about common law a lot and still has well known guests on, and the other is in Newcastle, and I don't know, apart from David Icke and Ian R. Crane, and Brian Gerrish, I don't know anyone else in England that's as vocal as myself. I wish there were more. So I mean, if people were thinking of starting up their own radio show, what advice would you give them?
Just do it right now. You can go straight to an internet radio thing like Blog Talk Radio, and you can have a show scheduled like that. Okay, don't think about it. Just effing do it, and you'll learn while you're doing it what you're doing wrong, and you'll make it better. Okay, that's all it is. The only thing that we really need to do is to saturate the media waves with as much truth talk as humanly possible, okay? If that is your goal, then there is nothing that can stop you, because it's absolutely easy to start doing, okay?
Yeah.
But you have to stick with it. The difficulty is you won't have a revenue source coming out of this for a long, long time. I mean, I'm on 26 AM FM stations worldwide, and it's only just recently now that my show's been on for about 8 months that I'm starting to get even very, very small tentative sponsorship, and still not enough to live off. So there's got to be some way of supporting yourself while you want to do your kind of truth activism. Okay, and I wouldn't encourage people to like rip off the Dole office or anything. There are a million and one ways to make money out there in your street and your community, and there's plenty of volunteer work that you can do where you can get, you know, free food and all that kind of stuff. You can ask for donations, you can make products like music CDs full of your shows, or if you do videos, you can make small DVDs. And, you know, you can really turn it into a alternative truth business model. And I reckon we actually really have to change its current perception that if you try and make money off the truth or anything like that, that you're a bad person. All you're doing is really funding an operation that gets the truth out there more. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
That very idea that you're an evil person for making money is a communist, leftist, evil New World Order plot to stop all the truthers who could really have well-financed anti-New World Order operations striking deep at the heart of the enemy at all times from all directions. Okay? That is the idea, to balkanize us, to get us to infight. And that's what we really have to change. We got to get the truth and turn it into an ethical business model, and get all the truth businesses to unite with their own independent business community, constantly working to undermine the current business model, which is New World
Order. Information war, yeah.
All right, so they've got a multi-layered agenda against us, and it filters down into every fabric of society. Therefore, the most important thing that people can do is simply fight back based upon the fabric that they're familiar with. I'm familiar with media, ergo, I go into media. If you're familiar with baking or something, ergo, you can start a website about the dangers of the additives in the bread or the bleaching of the flour or something along those lines. Whatever your profession, if you're a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, you can be a star and you can make a huge difference and you can save a lot of lives. And if you're not a talker, if you're not a public speaker, there are people in your area that are, and you can support them.
Well, okay. I was going to say, actually, even if you're not that confident about speaking or giving your own opinion across, there are plenty of articles that you can just read out and draw attention to, you know?
Yeah. Use the weapons that have been given to you already, okay? There are DVDs of people that have done amazing documentaries, okay? There are articles that you can just print out and then you can talk to somebody on the street about it, okay? It's not that difficult. Burning a DVD or printing an article is not a really difficult endeavor at all, okay?
Right.
The thing is you have to actually push yourself to do it. A lot of people, the hard part is just getting them going. But once they
just
are
make a little short film on YouTube, film some chemtrails, add a bit of commentary, some music, just flood YouTube with extra videos about chemtrails, for example.
Yeah, exactly. And people will say, well, what would that manage to create, you know, a whole bunch of crappy videos made by amateurs on YouTube? Hello, do you have any idea how much hits crappy amateur videos get? Have you ever heard of the double rainbow guy? Oh, my God, it's a double rainbow. It's so intense.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that.
What does that mean?
That was
this is my guy going freaking nuts with the camera. He's a worldwide freaking star. So,
I did that. Just for attention, I started this film. It's called, you see it on YouTube, it's called Stop Spraying Us. And I put the camera up and big camera. I said, well, you know, normally I'm very measured and I have a calm response. But what I'd really like to do, and I just jumped around like a Monty Python sketch saying, stop effing spraying us! Stop it! Stop! But talking about articles that you can... Talking about articles, if you're not that confident and you can share articles with people, there's just a little message coming in from Skype here. Yep, good. There's an article that's getting quite well known, and Alan Watt covered it and ripped it apart. And I'd like some of your ideas about what they've chosen to share with us. The Guardian, Richard Norton Taylor, obviously a very important man. He's got three names. Revolution, Flash Mobs and Brain Chips. A Grim Vision of the Future. This is from The Guardian, Monday the 9th of April 2007. It's in the history section. Information chips implanted in the brain, electromagnetic pulse weapons, the middle class is becoming revolutionary, taking on the role of Marxist proletariat, the population of countries in the Middle East increasing by 132%, while Europe's drops as fertility falls, flash mobs, groups rapidly mobilized by criminal gangs or terrorist groups. Well, we've just had massive protests in London, and the media was talking about flash mobs, so that's coming true. This is the world in 30 years' time, envisaged by a Ministry of Defence team responsible for painting a picture of the future strategic context likely to face Britain's armed forces. It includes an analysis of the key risks and shocks. Rear Admiral Chris Parry, head of the MOD's development concepts and doctrine center, which drew up the report, describes the assessments as probability-based rather than predictive. I mean, this 90-page report, it comments on widely discussed issues such as the growing economic importance of India and China. Well, we know all the factories have left the US and England to go to China, lock, stock and barrel, paid for by the taxpayers. The militarization of space, that's going on with HARP and all the satellites and the Star Wars programs, and even what it calls declining news quality with the rise of internet-enabled citizen journalists and pressure to release stories at the expense of facts.
As if mainstream media hasn't been doing that the whole time!
Well, I've got to read that again. And even what it calls, and it's in inverted commas here, declining news quality with the rise of internet-enabled citizen journalists and pressure to release stories at the expense of facts. It includes other, some frightening, some reassuring, potential developments that are not so often discussed. Right. Like they haven't been doing that all along. New weapons. This is from The Guardian in England. Mm-hmm. New weapons, an electromagnetic pulse, will probably become operational by 2035. What about 20 years ago with HAARP? Able to destroy all communication systems, I wish, in a selected area, will be used against a world city. We know the elite have been talking about cities of the future, megatropolises, you know. There's one being built in China the size of Wales that can hold 40 million people, brand new, such as International Business Service Hub. The development of neutron weapons, which destroy living organisms but not buildings, might make a weapon of choice for extreme ethnic cleansing in an increasingly populated world.
Which Dick Cheney said that race-specific bioweapons were a politically useful tool.
Right.
Speaking of politically useful tools, Dick Cheney.
He's a tool.
Yeah.
He's a half machine now, Dick Borg Cheney.
Yeah, exactly. He's they've now grafted his exoskeleton to his wheelchair and mounted a breathing apparatus on his back. he's like the living incarnation of Mr. Freeze. No?
For those that don't know, Dick Cheney was one of the, and I quote, crazies, the project for the new American century, which listed seven countries that the US would like to invade at some stage. And in order, it was Afghanistan, all the troops were ready to go before 9/11, Iraq, Syria, and I think it was Iran and then Syria, and Libya was mentioned too. So everything's going to plan, it seems.
Yeah, well, the thing that freaks me out most about that report from The Guardian is the possibility of flash mobs turning up everywhere. I don't know about you, but entire groups of dancing people in public spaces freaks the hell out of me.
The use of unmanned weapons platforms would enable the application of lethal force without human intervention, raising consequential legal and ethical issues. The explicit use of chemical, biological, radiological and nuclear weapons and devices delivered by unmanned vehicles or missiles. Now, this is not a vision of the future, right? This is happening now.
Yep. That's what they do in the media. They tell you what's been going on for a long, long time as if it's only just started happening now. Like, so, oh, yeah. We only just developed stealth technology, right, yeah, as if there were no prototypes. It's just ridiculous, man. They try to make everything appear as if it's by accident, but it's freaking not, man. It's all intentional. If a government passes legislation which spies on you, takes away your liberties, your rights, things of that nature, it means that they want to enslave you, okay? That's their end point. They're not going to just, you know, take a little bit of your rights away and then just leave it at that and say, okay, that was that crisis over. Now we've solved it by taking away just that tiny little right away from you. It's all good. Everything's sweet. No, they're going to take away more and more and more.
Well, they test us as well to see how much we put up with. And if we're dumb enough and stupid enough with all the fraud and everything to put up with it, they'll just give us more. Why not?
Mm-mm-mm. Don't you just love it when you're sitting in the boiling pot while the water's cool? But
Ribbit.
A lot of people out there are going to be chucked into the old frying pan and then chucked out into the fire.
Well, we're in it now. We're in the boiling pot now. Ribbit, ribbit, ribbit. Technology. By 2035, an implantable information could be wired directly to the brain. And how many video game users are going to go for that? Cool! A growing pervasiveness of information communications technology will enable states, terrorists, or criminals, that's anyone with a Ron Paul sticker, or anyone who criticizes the government, to mobilize flash mobs, challenging security forces to match this potential agility, coupled with the ability to concentrate forces quickly in a small area. Welcome back to the Free Truth Show on These Changing Times Radio via Blog Talk Radio. We are delighted to speak to Vinny Eastwood. How are you, Vinny?
Well, you know, my party line is I'm borderlining on fabulous. So remember in this election, Folk Fabulous.
You can check out the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, and that's where you'll be able to click on his show later on. He'll be live in a couple of hours' time.
Well, in less than an hour's time, actually, about 55 minutes from now, I will be going live, and I've got two very interesting guests today.
Tell us about your show.
Well, first guy is a Kiwi collaborator, and I'm from New Zealand, and I make a point of, on my show to bring on anti-New World Order and anti-globalist people from New Zealand fighting the various agendas and whatnot that are experts in their field. And on the list today, his name is Kerry Bevan from the Republic of New Zealand Party. And we're going to be talking about sovereignty, what it means to be a republic, and going into the various ins and outs of how badly our country has been taken over through freaking democracy. And in an hour too, I have this amazing guest from the UK named Patrick Lynch, who hosts a great radio show, Talk Radio. perhaps you've heard of him. So you're going to have about a half-hour break in between coming on my show, mate. Patrick, are you there?
Not sure if we've lost Patrick or not. Let me check real fast, and I don't have that he's... No, he's still on
It's all good. I'm sure he'll unmute his mic at some point. Yeah. Anyway, I'll continue talking about the Vinnie Eastwood show on your show, shall I?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, we've had like so many guests on. It's pretty unbelievable. Just looking at the radio archives, it's like the who's who of the frickin' truth movement, and I'm really quite honoured. Frankly, having a radio show gives you such a good excuse to go and meet all these people that you never would ever in your wildest dreams think that you would wind up meeting. You know, you'd hope you'd be lucky. But having a radio show gives you the excuse to actually just go after them. I mean, this morning, while we were talking, you remember that on Freedom Force International's website, they got a thing called a Hall of Honor. And the Freedom Force International is kind of the group that started up, what's it called, that? What was that film called? What in the World Are They Spraying? G. Edward Griffin and Monster Trooper?
Wonderful. Yeah, exactly.
And that's made in part with an organization called Freedom Force International, which G. Edward Griffin set up. In this, they've got a thing called a Hall of Honor, right? And in this Hall of Honor are the more famous members of the Freedom Force International. So we've got Alex Jones, G. Edward Griffin, Aaron Russo, Bob Schultz, Sheriff Richard Mack, Mike Adams. The list goes on. And essentially, I've been inducted into this as part of interviewing G. Edward Griffin, and it's like, well, that's the real amazing thing about just being able to reach out to somebody, having the excuse to talk to them on radio, is that so much comes of it. It's like it becomes a beast unto itself, and it becomes capable of taking over your life. And the day before yesterday, what I did was something I haven't done in a long time. I've actually turned off the internet. You know, just turned it off, left it off, because your time just sort of gets totally consumed. And it was making me feel kind of stressed out and frazzled and all of that kind of jazz. And it just wasn't cool, man. It wasn't cool whatsoever. But as soon as people were unable to communicate with me to, distract me from relaxing or getting some work finished or something of that nature, it was much, much better, and I feel great. And this kind of dovetails with another thing that interestingly happened to me. A friend of mine down in Hamilton, who has a radio station that plays the Vinnie Eastwood show, I think it's a weekdays, 6 till 8 p.m. in Hamilton.
Hello?
Yeah, Patrick, welcome back.
How are you? I reset the Skype. Sorry about that. Please carry on.
All good. And what he told me is that the license for that radio station is coming up, right? at a very unfortuitous time. And, yeah, something tells me that we might be in for a bit of a rough struggle with the establishment to even keep the radio station open. It's like, in some cases, we're under attack almost. It's like
I believe it will become increasingly hardcore, more difficult to air as we have been airing. But we can expect that. We'll eventually get driven. We may get driven to just printing newspapers covertly, running around Nazi Europe in the dead of night. You know, it may come to that. But we will carry on no matter what, whether it's wallpaper paste or the internet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is the thing. Use what we've got available to us and use it right now.
While we have it,
And as far as I'm concerned, that's actually like a cure-all kind of statement for everything. You know,
yeah.
Just do it and do it right now because there's no better time than the present. You know, what do you want to do? You want to wait? You want to wait around while the enemy grows stronger and creeps even further into your life? If that, they're already taking over, okay?
Yep.
The horse is out of the gate. Place your bets now. And if you're betting on freedom, then you've got to be doing something to make sure that your bet comes clean.
Well, in the future, if the New World Order get their way, people won't value freedom. They'll be trained to accept life as they're born into, as we're born into this false reality.
Oh man, I just got some terrible news from my producer. You know George Heminger, George for title?
I must say I don't actually know. Doesn't sound good. What's that?
He's a contributor for Russia Today in California, and he's got like about 10,000, 15,000 YouTube subscribers. Man on the street reporter for LA, man. And he's cruising around. He's like showing everybody what the gas prices are like, the empty store shelves, the suburbs that are completely empty, how to fish in local streams and make sure the food is clean. And it's called Survive and Thrive TV. They've been working really hard. And now the radiation cloud has washed all over California, thanks to Japan, building nuclear power plants on a fault line next to the beach.
Yeah, it's no coincidence. I think there's no coincidence that most nuclear reactors around the world are built on fault lines. I always try and imagine the board meeting when they're setting up a nuclear reactor station. Where should we put it? And one of them must have piped up. Can I just say something? Isn't that on a fault line? You're fired. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. But what I was going to say...
Off the bridge you go.
What's happened with this man?
His wife and his kids have left him. And he's pretty broken up about it, man. Like, he wanted to get the hell out of the States. And, you know, I said to him, you know, you got him, man. But his wife didn't want to.
Well, I mean, you need your support of your family. You know, that's the main thing. You know, it's doing what we do. It can, I've been very lucky, but it can alienate you from your own family and friends, you know.
Especially if you push it on them, man. Like, seriously, I'm a former salesman. I'm a former salesman, and I can tell you, the hardest person to sell a product to, no matter what the frickin' product is a family member.
Is
a family member. All right? They're the hardest people to convince of anything, of anybody. You'd figure, they'd be behind me, they'd love me, or whatever. About, like, the conspiracy field and all of that kind of things. You know, you'd figure that they'd be behind you, they'd support you, they'd listen to you. But no, on the whole, they don't. You know, which is why you need to engage them with the things that you do agree with them on.
Yeah.
Because what happens in the truth movement is that people think the truth is so valuable that they can't pay attention to anything else, and that includes sometimes their families. Okay? Your family and what they're doing is just as important to them as what you're doing is to the human race. okay? Yeah. And you need to have a bit of empathy with them and understand where they're coming from. Even though you know it's wrong, even though you know they're being misled, it doesn't mean that you keep going on about how they're slaves and such like that, that they're going to actually listen to you more. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. I was talking to a guy in a pub Saturday evening, and he said, oh, you should meet my friend. He's into conspiracy theories and that. He's putting on a night, a conspiracy night, you know. And I think if people can get sidetracked and kind of lose the idea of what's important by putting on a conspiracy night, straight away you've labelled yourself a conspiracy. I mean, the opening chat that you gave that I played at the beginning of the show, it just illustrated it very well, how even people who are researching and looking for the truth themselves avoid the term conspiracy theorist because they don't want to be lumped into that New World Order kind of tag.
And that's why, again, it's such an effective term, because as soon as you say it,
yeah,
it works absolute magic wonders. And,
I spent half an hour talking to a Christian, getting on a level about, if you know your Bible, then you know what's coming. You know what I'm saying is right. Just look it up for yourself. And I just about managed to convince her. I was pretty sure she'd go home and at least research a few articles herself or look at Infowars.com or something. And her mate just waltzed past and said, oh, yeah, we're all going to turn into lizards now, are we? And it was half an hour's work out the window.
Yeah, and that's what they do. They just lump you in with a group of other people for which there already exists a negative stereotype to associate you with, and therefore they don't have to acknowledge you.
Right.
I've got another clip to play for you here. You know how everybody kind of talks about how, oh, well, you know, you always focus on the problems, you never focus on the solutions. Well, I agree with them in principle, and I've got a little clip here to play, if I may.
Go for it.
Hold on a second. Yeah, I mean, the African continent has the same problem as the rest of the world does, and that's massive loan sharking extortion via the World Bank and IMF, who just come in, steal your assets, steal your resources, subvert your democracy. Well, I don't really believe in democracy myself, but this is the grand thing. I mean, we've all got the same frickin' enemy here, and what all these little socialite frickin' groups want to do is they just want to nitpick, you know. And I say, man, if you want to pick nits, go and live with a pack of orangutans, you know.
Don't
just bother, you know, messing around to messing with little tiny issues that are basically irrelevant over the grand scheme of things. Why don't you just go to the root of the problem? I mean, if you've got an enormous tree in your front yard that's got all over the place and is digging up your foundations and all of that kind of stuff, you cut that tree down. Okay? You don't prune the leaves.
Right, exactly. Good point. You are listening to the Free Truth Show on These Changing Times Radio. We're going to skip the next break. I was going to play NZ Trillion. Have you heard of NZ Trillion?
Well, yes. In fact, I've heard of NZ Trillion quite a lot lately. I've been trying to contact them to get them on my radio show for an interview.
Yeah, same here. He won't do it. He's not really up for chatting on the air. I think he's quite a shy guy or something, but his music is top class and delivers the truth in a very palatable way. You mentioned Japan a little way back there. It's just come out today, March 28th, still March 28th here. Japan finds plutonium at stricken nuclear plant. This is news? All the plutonium rods were sitting on top of the reactor, nicely stored there. It's from Tokyo, from Reuters. Plutonium found in soil at the crippled Fukushima nuclear complex. Shima means island, by the way, and you can work the rest out for yourself. Must be a joke. The nuclear complex tightened alarm on Tuesday over Japan's protracted battle to contain the world's worst atomic crisis in 25 years. Plant operator Tokyo Electric Power Company, TEPCO, said the radioactive material, a byproduct of atomic reactions, and also used in nuclear bombs, was traced in soil at five locations hit by the earthquake and tsunami on March the 11th. So plutonium's not good either. Apparently some of the traces of plutonium and radiation have been found in Scotland and Wales. So as well as California, Ireland must have had a good drenching as well so far. And this stuff stays around the atmosphere for months, you know.
I wonder if they call it plutonium because you need to be as far away as Pluto to be safe from it.
Right. Well, I wanted to talk to you about the chemtrails, actually. I was talking to a lady, Mary Ann, the other day. She was off to visit our local MP, however futile that may be. He was a conservative sort of guy. And she mentioned that in parts of Australia, obviously it's a different country, and I know you're a big fan of Australians. The chemtrails are happening in Australia, obviously, as well as New Zealand. But Mary Ann mentioned that in schools in Australia, they're teaching the kids about the chemtrails.
Really? So in the meantime, the New Zealand Parliament, when it gets submissions on chemtrail activity, says this is just a conspiracy theory by people who believe in a new world order. Ha, 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 ha. And they're teaching it to the children in Australia. You know what the difference is between Australians and cheese?
I was surprised
if you leave cheese in the desert for 200 years, it develops culture.
Well, trying to be serious here. Just made me laugh.
Sorry, my bad. You know, see, that's
what
I'm saying.
I'm going to admit, you did make me laugh the other day. I mean, I've developed a kind of warped sense of humour as well over this time. And the other day I just opened the show, just the music cut out, and the first thing people heard me say was, "War! War! War! Bloody war!" And I just went on a rant. War in Libya! War is humanity! Blah! For God's sake, what are you listening to the radio for? What are you listening to the radio for? What are you doing? You should be out there on the streets in your millions. For God's sake. But you made me laugh earlier with that joke. What was that knock-knock joke?
I forget. Oh, knock-knock.
Who's there?
The KGB.
KGB who?
People ask the questions here.
That's even better the second time.
Yeah, well, it is really good, eh?
I told that to my mate today and he cracked up.
Yeah. Humor's the most important thing to retain during stressful situations because it's the strongest form of denial. And I find that the reason why a lot of slaves out there are enjoying quite nice, happy lives amidst all this carnage and chaos and horror and terrific terribleness going on around them is that they're actively engaged in the process of denial. So my assumption is that if I was using the truth as a joke, to deny the true feeling of it and instead get empowered by it. That's the only important part of denial that I've ever found. The rest of it's basically bunk.
Well, it's verging on complicity, really.
Well, yeah. I mean, after all, the universe is going to go forth with or without me, so why should I necessarily fight against it when I can just use it for my own ends? You know, I mean, if a big river's coming at you, I mean, what do you want to do? Do you want to run away from it or do you want to build a dam and get some hydroelectric power off it?
Yeah.
You know,
if people would like to call in, by the way, if they want a quick chat with Vinny, I'm not sure how long we've got left with him, perhaps another 15 or 20 minutes or so. But there is a call in number and that's on the blog talk page. And not on my page right in front of me. It's gone now. Okay, very professional. Okay. Excellent.
Don't worry, bro. I mean, how long have you been doing this radio show for?
Well, this radio show, I've been doing about 3 months, nearly 3 months now. And I was on TNS Radio, TNS Air, an Irish radio station before that for about 6 months. But I ran a live video chat room for 3 years called Free Truth on live video. And I played videos, and there was a chat box, and there was four webcam spaces for people to sort of debate or have a laugh or whatever, or you know, while I read out articles and things. So I've been doing it for quite some time. But you have chemtrails in New Zealand, right?
Oh, absolutely. Tons.
Yeah. And apparently somebody mentioned they were spraying even right after the Christchurch quake.
That's right. That's right. Christchurch quake's got a lot of anomalies around it, and if you're up with the play with chemtrails, basically they can possibly be used. This is a theory. I haven't checked into it, but it sounds plausible. It's been told to me by a number of experts that they are used to augment the effects of HAARP and or scalar weapons technology. Some of the telltale signs of this technology being used is loud sonic booms coming out of the air, the appearance of what appear to be meteorites going through the air, rainbow clouds, things of that nature, all of which were reported in and around Christchurch on the day of the quake, which incidentally coincided with 1,000 New Zealand relief personnel who were just doing a drill that day, which coincidentally had 4 US vessels off the coast of New Zealand, which incidentally was having a meeting about a Trans-Pacific partnership to completely enslave New Zealand, which incidentally was populated, but was supposed to have the leader of Homeland Security, Jim Napolitano, meeting there. And there were 9 US congressmen, the head
and
of
they
FEMA.
Left. Yeah.
They left exactly 2 hours before the earthquake struck.
That must have been some heavy conference, knowing that you only have 2 hours to wrap up the meeting before, you get hit with thunderclap surprise.
Yeah. Well, there were dozens and dozens of reports that came in, even through mainstream media, about the sonic booms before the quake. You know,
we know very well what HAARP does. We know now. We know they've admitted William Cohen, the former Carter defense secretary in the US, admitted, yeah, we've got tectonic weapons, yeah, we've got earthquake weaponry, yeah, we've got weather modification technology. The Chinese made it rain or stopped the rain for the Olympics. We know they have these HAARP weapons. The geoengineers talk about dropping bombs in the seabed, nuclear bombs, to in the future, that it may be possible, blah, blah, blah. If they're considering doing it, and especially if they're telling you that they're considering doing it, they're doing it. I'm on a beach in Spain. I look up. There's an upside down rainbow right after heavy spraying. So that we know they're doing it. Hugo Chavez, the Venezuelan presidente, he came out and said, "Yeah, that was US. US has got earthquake weapons." And
yeah, well, they always seem to be standing by with supplies right at the moment that it happens, without needing 3 weeks to prepare and then show up.
Yeah, and I was going to mention the fact that in before Haiti earthquake, the day before in Florida, the US was, and I quote, in an advanced stage of preparedness, and the scenario for aid to help out a country in that may have a hurricane. And that was the day before the Haiti earthquake. They were all ready to go in Florida, the closest place to Haiti. And the scenario they chose, the scenario country, was Haiti. And that's quite common. I look for that now. I'm thinking, okay, do we have any, there's a new earthquake over there in Burma or Tibet or wherever. Do we know if any of the US military were hanging around? And bing, bang, bong, there they are. They're always there.
Yeah. I mean, the US military is there almost as often as Mossad. You know, I mean, seriously, the conspiracy couldn't be more clear. You know, I want to use the term conspiracy, but and just turn it back around. Conspiracy should mean
conspiracy. If one or more parties conspire, underhandedly, surreptitiously, to create a result, and that's what it is. That's what a conspiracy is. But if
it's specifically to cause harm. It's specifically to cause harm. And when you think about it, that means that conspiracy is, in fact, quite a common occurrence. It is not entirely, our society is not entirely absent of people who scheme and connive against each other, is it?
Right.
You know, and that's what conspiracy is in its purest form. Two or more people coming against another group of people without that group of people knowing it.
Okay. Does that make me you? Does that make you and I co-conspirators of getting the truth out there?
No, because we're being open about it. If we were trying to keep it secret, it would be a conspiracy.
Oh yeah.
Okay. If we were trying to do it.
Next, you'll say we're live on the radio.
Pardon?
Next, you'll say we're live on the radio.
Oh well, you know, I have news for you.
Oh crap.
Yeah.
But getting back to the Christchurch situation, it didn't matter that this earthquake happened and that a lot of people lost their lives. They still sprayed them like bugs. So what does that say about the people in charge? They're absolutely depopulating the planet. Their agenda has gone on for a long time. Rockefeller only recently called for rapid depopulation. This man's impatient. They're getting impatient. Why? Because, I mean, Brzezinski said himself, he's a geopolitician. He set up Al-Qaeda, said your cause is worthy. He's on record with trembling lips saying, never before in history have people been so politically awake, you know. They're running scared. They're behind with their agenda, I believe. And they didn't expect, after giving us the internet to control us, that it would get out of hand this much, and this is why they're clamping down with Obama's kill switch, blah, blah, blah. But we're working. We're winning the info war. And that's why I believe all these crises have turned up at the same time, because you want to expose us? You want to know who you're dealing with? Bang. This is who you're dealing with. This is what we can do. We're weather gods, by the way.
Yeah, and they try to keep everybody locked into this fear paradigm, as if being scared of what they're going to do next is the most important thing on your mind. Nope. Most important thing on my mind is how can I fuck with them today?
Right.
You know, and they hate humor. They hate love. They hate positivity. So I'm just going to do that all the livelong day. And if they get really ticked off about it, all the better. Because how do you expose a fascist? You get them to act like one. And all of a sudden, everybody will see them for what they are, and then the game is up. Okay? We don't even have to accomplish anything per se. We just have to do something. Okay? That's the thing. That's the only burden on you, is to do something. You don't necessarily have to accomplish something, but if you're doing nothing, then there's still some extra obligation on you, and you should be doing more. You know,
well,
because
we're
in a fight.
It was encouraging to see. I agree. It was encouraging to see the Australians coming out just off the cuff and demonstrating against carbon taxes the other day. They're fully awake and educated.
I wouldn't say that they are all fully awake and educated. As with every Western country, there's copious quantities of propaganda and brainwashing that goes on. But it's always a positive sign when you see that silent majority start to emerge, because there's a lot of people, you don't necessarily have to be well educated in order to know that the government's a scam or anything. I mean, hell, bums on the streets know that the government's a scam.
Right. Well, nobody trusts politicians anyway. About 80% of people around the world believe, or in Western countries at least, or 80% of people in America for sure, believe that 9/11 was an inside job.
And yet they still elect people who enslave them.
Yeah, I mean, they still vote. I mean, anyone who votes now is a mug.
Yeah, I mean, what was his name? Mark Twain, I believe. He said, I would never vote for a politician because it would only encourage them.
Right. Exactly, yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, and this is the thing. The large print giveth and the small print taketh away. It's another good quote.
Right. Yeah, the devil's in the detail, yeah.
Yeah, and the idle hands are the devil's plaything, and it basically just leads me to an existence where I assume for a moment that every minute of my day, I can be working on either building my show, building my website, making new videos, or I can be hosting my radio show or going on other people's, or I can be emailing new guests. I've got a million things that I could be doing. And sometimes, most of the time I'm working, sometimes though, I just say, nah, I'm not working at the moment. I need to rest. Because taking care of myself is incredibly important, because if there's no me, there's no Vinnie Eastwood show.
And you can see the Vinnie Eastwood show on TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, by the way, folks. And we have a call-in number here. It's just flashed up in front of me. If you want to chat in and ask any questions to our excellent guest tonight, Vinnie Eastwood, please call in on even more professional. It's
619-639-4628. That's 619-639-4628.
Excellent. And that number again?
619-639-4628.
Here's Bob with the weather.
Well, it's 220 degrees in downtown Los Angeles right now. Everything in the city is burning to the ground. There's radiation falling from the sky into some kind of snowy top dust-blown particle thing. My hazmat suit's melting under the heat and pressure.
Who is that guy? Tell him he's fired.
Yeah. All right, so off to a beam camp with you. But no.
You're thousands and thousands of miles away, Vinny.
Yeah.
What percentage of New Zealand do you think is wide awake and doing their best to unsheath and decloak the New World Order in New Zealand?
I imagine the statistic is comparable to anywhere else on Earth. It's merely the capita that matters. I mean, in New Zealand, I'd probably say we have more activists per capita than any other country in the world. I don't have any evidence to support that whatsoever. I'm just making a bold assumption because I've had copious quantities of activists on my show. I've interviewed more Kiwi activists than anybody else on the planet in history. Okay, period. I can state that. That's a fact. But the problematic difficulty is that if you want everything to change, you need one of two things. You need mass movements or you need small groups of determined individuals. Now, currently, our adversary is mass movements that are controlled by small groups of individuals. So essentially, we can apply that same methodology back at them and direct large movements of our own through the use of activism, coordination, and cooperation against our common enemies. That's my goal in life, essentially, is to try and unite people, show a little bit of unity, and just say, look, for F's sake, there are people out there who want you dead. They want you dead right now, and you're worrying, and you're talking to me about, like, my spelling or or something completely insignificant. I mean, come on. Here's a gun. Put it to your head and then tell me what's the most important decision in your life right now. I can guarantee you that the most important decision in your life is not pulling that trigger. All right? So I'm telling you.
Very nice telepathic link there. This is from the consumerist today. You're going to love this. Montana Radio Shack gives away guns with new Dish Network subscriptions. This is from Chris Moran. A Radio Shack in Montana is making headlines and doing a brisk business by offering free guns to new Dish Network customers. So hook up to cable and we'll give you a pistol. I just made that up. Protect yourself with Dish Network. Sign up now, get free gun. Reads the sign over the door of a Hamilton MT Montana Radio Shack. The promo has been running since October, and the store's owner says it's tripled the business in that time. It's also made the store a bit of a local landmark. We have people literally stop in to take pictures of the sign. Missing the point. The Shack's manager tells local paper of the Ravelli Republic. To qualify for the deal, customers have to sign up for Dish service, and presumably they mean cable and not washing up, and installation, and purchase a certain amount of related equipment from the store. They are then given a gift certificate for the local gun store, where they have the option of an HI .380 pistol or a 20-gauge shotgun. The gun store runs the proper background checks on all customers before giving out any firearms. We're not just giving guns to felons, said the Shack manager. If the customer doesn't want or doesn't pass the background check for a gun, they can receive a $50 pizza card. What's the gun situation in New Zealand? Are you allowed guns over there, like the Second Amendment in America?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know how Canada is, how they've got like copious amounts of guns per capita, but that's just because it's like out of town hunters and farmers and things like that. People who actually use guns as a utility in their work life have them, and that's the similar situation here in New Zealand. There's a broad range of licensing restrictions and things of that nature that you need to get. I mean, guns are not a right; you have to get a license in order to have them. And once you have them, you have to make sure that your license keeps getting renewed all the time. For example, a handgun license, you have to visit a shooting range 12 times a year in order to keep a handgun license.
Right.
All right, so it's relatively strict. In terms of the eugenics agenda in New Zealand, man, they're kicking it into full swing. We're having 50 million tons or something freaking ridiculous. Oh, it's not 50 million tons. Certainly a heck of a lot of a compound called Compound 1080 that's being dumped into our waterways and rural bushland areas. And it's in the form of pellet bait, essentially. And 1080 is banned in every country with via aerial application, with the exception of one, New Zealand. And it breaks down so that it can actually affect reproductive cycles, even if it's watered down to be in the parts per trillion. Okay?
Right.
And this is the most dangerous stuff that's going on all over the place. We now have vaccine promotions. Be wise. Immunize. And, if you're sick this winter, it's because you didn't have a flu shot. It's just like coming at us from every freaking direction. The oil prices are shooting up ridiculously. It's like $2.16 New Zealand dollars in order to get a litre of 91 petrol. Okay? The house prices are fluctuating ridiculously. 52% of people in our most major city will never, ever, according to reports, be able to afford to buy their own home. The carbon taxes have now been instituted in New Zealand so that our petrol prices have gone up an extra 5% on top of the 40% that the government already taxes off it, on top of putting an extra 5% on our power bills and telling everybody that they need to pay an extra levy to help rebuild Christchurch. How the hell are they going to
pay all based on global warming, which is a scam made up by the Club of Rome in the late 60s that would fit the bill.
Yeah.
Well, you talked about the push of vaccines from if you haven't been immunized, if you're ill, it's because you haven't been immunized, blah, blah, blah. There's a note here, an article here today from Time Techland website. Google plans to turn your Android phone, that's a disturbing name anyway, into an electronic wallet. In the future, you better not lose your Android phone. Google is teaming up with MasterCard and Citigroup and Rothschild to turn your Android phone into a portable wallet, allowing you to pay for purchases simply by waving your phone around.
And it did you say waving away your privacy by waving a phone around, waving hello to a cashless society enslavement mechanism, where if they want to stop you eating, they just turn your phone off?
Well, it talks about there was another article the same that talked about how it'll send you texts to remind you to come in to get vaccinated. Up to the eyeballs with mercury and other deadly things that paralyzes you or kills you at best. Bill Gates, this is from naturalnews.com, Bill Gates is promoting a plan to use wireless technology to register every newborn on the planet in the vaccine database. In a keynote address to the mHealth Summit, which focuses on using mobile technology to improve healthcare, Gates said, he's just another front man, Gates said, that improving survival rates among children under the age of 5 would benefit not just individual families, like they care about you being an individual, but societies and the planet as a whole. The key thing, and I quote Bill Gates, the key thing, the most important fact that people should know and make sure other people know. As you save children under 5, that is the thing that reduces population growth, he said. That sounds paradoxical. The fact is, within a decade of improving health outcomes, parents decide to have less children. So this is the guy that's heading up with his wife, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and Planned Parenthood. These guys are eugenicists. If you thought you didn't like him because he was a nerd, you have an even better reason now. is a eugenicist murdering scumbag. We know that vaccines are deadly. Were most people educated enough over there? Did they get the info in time to avoid them in New Zealand?
Thanks to people like myself and Penny Bright and Jane Burgermeister and Jonathan Eisen from Uncensored Magazine, a whole bunch of activists teamed up to get as much media saturation as we could on the issue. We had like a 1/10 of the vaccine uptake as the rest of the world. So we're very happy about that. We saved a lot of lives.
Well, I know they shipped a lot of. I pushed it a lot.
We got 300,000.
We
got 300,000 vaccines in from Baxter International, which Jane Burgermeister reported that had purposely contaminated 72 kilos of vaccine material in the Czech Republic and was charged with the FBI for a conspiracy to create pandemic so that they could sell their vaccines, get people infected with a deadly virus that spreads wildfire, and then sell their vaccines to them again. New Zealand bought 300,000 of these jabs, and so you know we got out on the street, we got on the megaphones, we got out around music festivals and stuff like that, and started handing out these flyers about how these freaking vaccines are dangerous. They're completely untested. They say on the packaging, do not give it to pregnant women, when the government advertisement said especially pregnant women come and get this vaccine. You know, it's freaking evil. These are the most psychopathic killers ever. And they've all got white lab coats and are very respected.
When you hear about how Nazi Europe was funded and how people walked around and sterilized and doctors were sterilizing people before the war happened, this is even worse. They're actually on the streets in parts of England offering you money to get sterilized. They'll walk up to kids in prams with their mums and offer them £200 to be sterilized to not have any more kids.
Yeah, we had a talk show host here, Michael Laws, who's the mayor of a town, Whanganui, and he recommended that people should be sterilized if they were shown to be in low socioeconomic positions, i.e. being Maori or Pacific Island descent. And interestingly enough, guess where all the vaccine advertisements are targeted at? Maori and Pacific Island descent. Mm-hmm. It is totally eugenics, okay?
I have noticed that they go for indigenous cultures a lot throughout history, in fact, with the American Indian culture, because they have a spiritual tie to their land. They understand the health issues surrounding natural local food, how herbs can be beneficial to them. They understand, they're very rooted in their nature, in their culture and nature generally. So they like to wipe out. And you're talking about race specific bioweapons. In Italy, in southern Italy, where many people have descended from North African descent, they were able to, they get more AIDS there. They get more cases of AIDS in southern Italy because that particular strain of AIDS that was released in that area targeted the white blood cell couplets more than which is why the northern Italians didn't get AIDS so much because they were white. So they're actually not only just eugenicist killers, but they're racist, they're Aryan. Basically, George Bush and the Skull and Bones is Aryan. It's Nazi. The Nazis never went away. They just got more powerful. And here they are out in the open saying, take the vaccines. It will reduce population.
Yep. I believe it was Bill Gates' father was the head of the American Eugenics Society, otherwise known as Planned Parenthood as well. And what's his name? George H.W. Bush. His father, Prescott Bush, was charged. Yeah, he was charged under the Trading with the Enemy Act. They were responsible for shipping 30% of Nazi Germany's explosives, about 40% of their pig iron, and about 25, I think it was like 80% of their wire, and various other things. They channeled all this through. The Nazi war effort basically could not have been sustained for more than a couple of weeks without the support of fabulous Prescott Bush, who later became a senator.
Bill Gates goes on to say that vaccines will be the key. If you could register every birth on a cell phone, get fingerprints, get a location, then you could set up systems to make sure the immunizations happen. Gates suggested using cell phones to record each birth and send the information, including biometric identifiers, to a central database. This database would then send reminders to parents' phones when it was time to come in for vaccines or other treatments. He said a prime location to implement such programs would be northern Nigeria or northern India, where vaccination rates are less than 50%. Now, they've still got enough natural land to run into the woods with. I mean, in Thailand, mums were losing their babies immediately after vaccinations from the World Health Organization going in there, some of them forcibly. And some of the pregnant women were running into the forest. They knew it killed their babies.
Well, this is the thing. When you're dealing with people who basically want you dead, okay, there is no negotiations, okay? These people are not going to reason with you. I mean, it's like, you know, the movie The Terminator, all right? You can't reason with it, and it will never stop until you are dead.
Such
right.
ideas can conceivably, this is Brave New World on acid, such ideas could conceivably involve using GPS devices inside phones to physically track parents who do not bring their children in for vaccines. Piss off!
Oh. See, you know what the problem is that we recognize the eugenic policies within what they're saying, but we know for a fact that other people don't see this. They actually swallow it, and it's like, oh, God, is somebody going to burst through my freaking door and shove a needle in my freaking arm if I you know, talk about this wrong or something? You know, it's like people talk about the FBI or talk about George Bush wrong in a gym these days, and they get the FBI freaking knocking on their doors. Imagine what happens if you talk anti-vaccine one day and somebody turns up with a jab. You know, think about total tyranny, the worst possible tyranny that you could ever conceive of in all of history, technologically advanced, totally invasive, hooked into everything. All right,
yeah.
Scientific dictatorship. Know your enemy. Okay. The problem with these people is that because they are everywhere and because they do everything and because they're linked up with the military, medical, industrial complex, the politicians, the businesses, everything in the financial sector is basically hooked up in some way or controlled in some way by the total elitist New World Order banking slime bags. It's like a giant transformer that has all kind of gotten together and it's coming for you. All right. Is that all you got? And to me, I say, is that all you got, Megatron? I'll take you all on. You know, and seriously, you have to think about it in that particular context in order to understand the level of the situation. Now, I make jokes about everything. Sure. But it doesn't mean I'm not taking it seriously. I really do. Okay. I wouldn't
be doing
what I'm doing 16 hours a day, or in some cases, I didn't really care about it. You know, we work damn hard to fight these people and save humanity, which is different from saving the planet.
Yeah. I'm not a green fascist. I generally do care about the planet and my local environment. And my,
oh, my God. I've got a funny story about that, man. I was sitting in a cafe up in West Auckland. And this dude walks past, and he's wearing a big T-shirt with a giant Nazi symbol on it that says, "The new Nazis are green."
Oh, my God.
And I said to him, "Bro, that is the best T-shirt ever." And he's like, "Oh, my God, you're Mr. News."
Excellent. Brilliant.
Yeah, it was great, man. It was so funny. And he just sat down and we had a couple of coffees and stuff like that together. We got so absorbed in the conversation that we walked away and forgot to pay our bill to the cafe.
You terrorist.
Yeah. And then I came back to that cafe a couple of weeks later and said, hey, I think one time I didn't pay for a meal.
It's on the house, Mr. News. How many young people do you speak to? I'm 41. I listened to a conversation that my friend was having Saturday night in the bar. And I hear this very, very often from young students, 20 or 22 years old. They actually believe the propaganda, the overpopulation myth. And maybe we do need to look at numbers again, you know.
Well, where does that line of thinking lead? I mean, if your goal is to reduce the population, what's the most logical next step? Is to kill people or to prevent people from living? And either way, it's an evil idea, is it not? It's intensely inhuman to even think about any kind of population control. Think about those poor people in China, man. All right, there are now 40 million more men than women in China. Okay, because of the preference for a boy. That's what happens when you try to control life. Things become out of balance.
Yeah.
You know?
Communism itself, this population, the whole communist system in China was set up by London. They organized it from the Royal Institute of International Affairs directly. Chairman Mao was one of their bitches.
Yeah. Well, it's been nice being on the show here with you, Patrick. It's been fun, man.
It's been a pleasure. It's been my pleasure. Absolutely. Will you join us again?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you're going to be joining me in about an hour's time on my show, so it'll be good, mate. We'll talk to you later on.
I'm looking forward to it very much. I forgot to tell my New Zealand family that I'm going to be on the New Zealand radio.
conveniently, we've got archives, so we can just send them the links, mate, all right?
That's brilliant. I look forward to talking to you. It's been thanks for coming on the Free Truth Show, and I'll see you in a bit.
All right.
Vinny Eastwood, check out his website, vinnyeastwoodshow.com.
Or the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. In fact, you know, it's an easy thing. You can just type in Vinnie Eastwood into your browser and it automatically comes up with the VinnieEastwoodShow.com now.
That's great. Yeah, that's encouraging. You know you're getting places when that happens.
Yeah. All right, cool, man. I'll see you there.
All the best. Bye-bye. Well, that's the man himself, Mr. News, Vinnie Eastwood. Check out his site, VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And he's in New Zealand, obviously, and we'll be chatting to him again. And if you check out VinnieEastwoodShow.com, I'll be on there later too.